It used to be that our society seemed pretty small. Came from small towns where everybody knew everybody, and particularly religiously, we were somewhat similar. With our globalized society now, we come in contact with lots and lots of various other Christians, 33,000 denominations of Protestantism alone. Throw in Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Sikhs, and we've got all kinds of different religions, religious opinions out there. The question can come up then for us as Catholics, what do we believe about being Catholic, and what about all these other people? Our second reading today is one of the key texts in sacred scripture to help us understand what is the place of our Catholic faith, and what about all these other faiths? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy 2, 4. A key verse. It says that God wills that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. But then it also says, but there's only one God, and there's only one mediator, Jesus Christ. It seems in our society today, almost two contradictory things. If God wills that all be saved, doesn't that mean that everybody just goes to heaven? Since if God wills it, doesn't it happen? But on the other hand, he says that there's only one way to heaven, through Jesus Christ. So what do we do with these two polar opposites, seemingly? Well, first of all, on the one hand, we have to look and say, is it really true that since God wills that all men be saved, that just everybody goes to heaven? Well, no. In fact, the priests are going to be gone this week on a retreat with the Archbishop, and our topic is to look at the new English translation of the prayers at Mass that we're going to begin using in a little over a year. One of the things, it's all the same Mass, but just a different English translation to be more accurate, to take our time, we've done it right, and try to be more faithful to what the text actually says in the Latin. One of the things that's changing is during the consecration, when the priest right now says that the chalice that is offered, he says, this will be offered for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. That text is being changed to say, it will be offered for you and for many, so that sins will be forgiven. It's what it says in the Latin, but it also recognizes that although Jesus died for all of us, not all will be saved. Some will not accept Jesus, the one mediator that St. Paul talks about. So on the one hand, we have to look at our Catholic faith, and we have to realize that it's special. We can't just look at all the other religions and say, well, aren't they all just the same? Does it really matter what faith you practice it? I mean, isn't it all just kind of different paths to the same place? It's a popular belief. But we refer to that as a heresy. That's the heresy of indifferentism. To be indifferent about being Catholic. As if Catholic is just one way to be, and all these other ways are just as good. It's a nice thought to try to get along kind of with everybody else we encounter. We don't want to come across as thinking that somehow we're better than everybody else on our own merits. But to say that somehow the Catholic faith is just one among many and it doesn't really matter, that's a heresy, because if you think about it, what that means is to say that yeah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and died for us so that we could go to heaven, but it doesn't really matter. You could go to heaven without Jesus. Jesus Christ came and founded his church, his bride, to give us the Eucharist, the confession, and the sacraments. Yeah, but it doesn't really matter. Yeah, you could get to heaven some other way. Indifferentism is perhaps one of the greatest heresies that plagues our modern society in our Catholic faith. We tend to see our faith as nothing special, as if it were just one path to the top of the same mountain, as one person once put it. We have to hold in tension that other half of what St. Paul tells us. He says that there is one God and one mediator, Jesus Christ. That means for those of us that know about Jesus, he is the only way to heaven. There is no other path. The church, from the earliest times has always taught a phrase in Latin, extra ecclesiam nulla salus. It means outside the church, there is no salvation. Now, St. Augustine, living in the 5th century, when he was asked, does this mean that if you're not baptized, you don't go to heaven? He said, yes. Because at that time, the church thought that we knew pretty much all the people in the world. They're basically the Middle East. That's all the people in the world, isn't it? So they figured that the apostles had gone everywhere by the 5th century, and the faith had been preached everywhere. So if someone had not been baptized, it's clearly because they reject the faith. And if you reject Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Things started to change, though, as we began to explore the rest of the world, especially with the sailing of Columbus, discovering the New World, with St. Francis Xavier going to the East in China. All of a sudden, we started to see, there are a lot more people out there that we never even knew about. Native American peoples, Indochina people, never heard about Jesus. And all of a sudden, we started to think, well, maybe not everyone has necessarily rejected Jesus who hasn't been baptized. So the church began to see, okay, by the time of the Second Vatican Council, the language we now use is to say that yes, baptism is necessary for salvation, but those who through no fault of their own do not know Jesus or his church can be saved. That is how we can recognize that there will be many good Muslims and Jews and Protestants in heaven if through no fault of their own, they don't know that the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus founded and wants everyone to be a member of. But the church also teaches, to counter indifferentism, that if you would knowingly choose not to be a part of the Catholic Church, knowing that it's the church Jesus founded, or if, heaven forbid, you would choose to leave that church, you cannot be saved. If with full knowledge and freedom of what the Catholic Church is, you would reject it. It's special. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died to give us his bride, the church. We've got to see how special that is. He really did want us to have all these gifts. And while it may be possible for those who are outside the Catholic Church to be saved, the church does not say that it's easy. In fact, objectively speaking, it would be much harder. Think about how much harder it would be to get to heaven if we don't have confession, to have our sins forgiven, if we don't have the Eucharist to strengthen us. We need all that. But with that being said, we still have to hold that part that St. Paul says, God wills that all be saved. So he's got a way to do it. In fact, even though in the Catholic Church we know we have the fullness of truth, we have everything Jesus wanted his church to have, quite frankly, a lot of Protestants do a lot better than we do with the objectively less that they have. How many times do we as Catholics not use the gifts of the sacraments? Do we treat cheaply the Word of God in sacred scripture? I think we could be surprised to see that there are going to be a lot of very holy Muslims and Jews and Protestants in heaven before us even, because we have been given much, and for much, much is expected. How often are we like those people in the first reading that want to be like, when will the Sabbath be over so we can just get on with what we want to do? When will the new moon be done so this stupid religious feast will end? Do we sometimes treat our faith cheaply like that? Today, God calls us to a new amazement at our faith, to steer clear of indifferentism and the deadly sin of sloth, that we might see our Catholic faith as special, that we might truly thank Jesus for the great gift he's given us in our faith, that we might go out then and evangelize our brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, not in any kind of triumphalism to say, hey, we're better than you, but to say, this is the church Jesus founded. He wants all of us to have this. What you've got is great, but let me tell you about more. Jesus wants to be our very food. He wants us to encounter him in the Eucharist. That's why we evangelize. So let us today go out to spread the good news to everyone and to truly be thankful and to have that faith alive in our hearts that would send us out to the ends of the earth to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ has died for us, and through him, the one mediator, we can hope for eternal salvation.